The minig is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that when we with Kriyas HaTorah, when we finish our Chumash, like this Shabbos, we're going to complete Chumash Bereishis. So the whole Tzibur says, Chazak, Chazak, Minis Chazek. This is based on the Gemara, Maseches Brachos, but the Gemara says that there are three things that need Chizuk. So one of them is learning Torah. Chizuk means that even if you finished learning Gemara, you have to continue to learn. That's why the minig is when you finish a mesichta, so you start right away the next mesichta. You finish a perek, you start right away the next perek. So on Shabbos morning, we complete Chumash Bereishis. So right away on Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, we're going to start Shmos. And on Simchas Torah, when we finish the Chamish or Chumash Torah, so the minig is that right away we start Bereishis right after we finish the Chamish or Chumash Torah. One of the other things that needs chizuk is tefillah. That even after we finish davening, we daven again. You should continue to daven again and again for the same thing. Rav Soloveitchik said that he thought that's the reason why the minig was that on Friday night when you finish davening Ma'ariv, the minig always was that you say Adon Olam at the end of the davening, because Adon Olam is the way you begin Shachris. In a lot of shuls, the chazan starts with Adon Olam. Here in the yeshiva, they start with Birchas HaShachar. But in a lot of shuls, the chazan starts with Adon Olam. So to demonstrate that, right, we just finished davening Ma'ariv, we're prepared to begin Shachris again, so you start with Adon Olam. Some shuls, some communities started a minig that instead of saying Adon Olam, you say Yigdal. Rav Soloveitchik said he doesn't understand what that minig is based on at all. And in Shulchan Aruch, the Behetev quotes from the Arizal that he was opposed to reciting Yigdal. He thought it was improper. Shailas, what was improper about it? What's wrong with Yigdal? Yigdal contains all the Yud Gimel Ikar Hu Amunah. It's based on the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos in the end of Sanhedrin, where the Rambam lists off what he considers to be the Yud Gimel Ikar Hu Amunah, and it's printed at the end of Shachris, all the 13 Animam. And so Yigdal is a poem that's based on that. So Rabbi David Cohen from Flatbush has quite a few volumes on Siddur. So he thinks that the reason why the Arizal was opposed to reciting of Yigdal is because he thinks it was composed by Immanuel Haromi. Immanuel Haromi was a Jew who lived in Rome, who wrote plays and novels. And the Mechaber mentions him in Hilchas Shabbos, that you're not allowed to read Sifrei Immanuel on Shabbos because it's Dvar Metalim. He said, not allowed to read it all week long. But for sure you shouldn't read it on Shabbos. He has his favorite Rishonim. He likes the Rambam. He doesn't like the Ravids. He makes fun. He has in his play. He makes fun of the ones he doesn't like, and he praises the ones that he does like. He says that it's a Mechaber writes that it's Litzonis. So that's why Rabbi David Cohen thinks that the Yigdal was composed by Immanuel Haromi. Then they sent him letters. That is not so. Yigdal existed before the days of Immanuel Haromi. So Rabbi David Cohen insisted no, but Immanuel Haromi touched it up. He edited it. He corrected it. So that's why the Arizal was opposed. Rav Soloveitchik thought a different reason. Rav Soloveitchik thought that this perhaps, we don't know exactly why the Arizal was opposed. So Rav Soloveitchik thought because this is picked up from the Catholics, that a part of our prayer service, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't recite the catechism. We don't recite the Ikari HaMuna. This Rav Soloveitchik Taina, they must have picked it up from the Christians. And in their church service, they say all their animamins. So he said that that's probably why the Arizal was opposed. This achukas hakum, to introduce a goyish practice in avodas Hashem, is an isel chukas hakum. Ramban Achumish writes on the pasuk, you shouldn't say ech yabda goyim ani salahem the esek ken gamoni. So the Gemara says that pasuk is referring to avodas zara kedarka. The din is, if a person violates Avodah Zorah, Poiratzma Lepora, Zorah Kevin Lamarkulis, he worships the Avodah Zorah, however they worship the Avodah Zorah, Yechayv Misa. What if he worships Avodah Zorah, Shaloi Kedarka, he's Poiratzma Lamarkulis, or Zorah Kevin Lepora. So that's not that, that's a way to make fun of the Avodah Zorah. But the Gemara says that there is Zibur, Kito, Nisach, Ishtachvoa, those Dalar Avodahs, Yechayv Ibn Shaloi Kedarka, even if this religion, and even if this Avodah Zorah religion doesn't have such a practice of zibur kito nisach ishtachva. But peir atzma lepor, if that's how he does it, bekach then yichayim. So the Gemara says it based on this pasuk. You shouldn't ask echi abda goyim haim salahim esek king amoni. I want to worship Avodah Zorah kedarka the same way that goyim worship Avodah Zorah. That's how the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns in the sugya of Avodah Zarah. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash writes, he doesn't think that that's pshuto shel mikra. He thinks what the Gemara said, that's an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara says mikra echad yotzei lekametanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that any given pasuk has more than one level of interpretation. So he thinks that's an additional level of understanding of the Torah Shebaal Peh, that the pasuk is referring to worshiping Avodah Zarah kidarka. But the Ramban thinks that the pshuto shel mikra is talking about chukas akum. You shouldn't. There are people who consider themselves Orthodox rabbis in the New York area. So they say that there are certain Orthodox practices that are stale, and we should weed them out. We should remove them. They're no longer meaningful to many people. Okay, that's not unreasonable. And then this person that considers himself an Orthodox rabbi says, we should investigate all the other Avodah Zarah religions and see if they have any beautiful practices. We should incorporate them into the Jewish religion. The Ramban says that's exactly what the Pasuk says you're not allowed to do. You shouldn't say, Ech yabda goyim hem sarahehem, v'esekein gamani lo shamayim. I'm going to worship God the same way they worship their Avodah Zarah, their beautiful practices, so let's introduce it into Judaism. That way you should worship Avodah Zarah kedarka. That's an additional level of interpretation. But pshuto is that it goes on chukasakim. The two psukim, that's what Ramban writes. The two psukim on chukasakim. One pasuk says, v'chukasayim lo yisei lecha, that goes, you shouldn't dress like a goy, you shouldn't take a haircut like a goy, you shouldn't talk like a goy. Not to be nigrar after their culture, after their style of living. And this pasuk, chukasakim, is a special pasuk, not to be mekayim mitzvahs, not to do mitzvahs ha-Torah in the same way the goyim worship their Avodah Zarah. Now, so Veitchik pointed out that there's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and in Sanhedrin. Tosfos also seems to say, Tosfos doesn't work with the psukim, but Tosfos says there are two different dinim of chukasakim. One is if you have a minig shtus, to dress like them, and to speak like them, and to take a haircut like them. The other one is a minig l'Avodah Zarah. We shouldn't introduce it when we do mitzvahs. Rabbi Zolechik thought that Tosfos also probably understood like the Ramban, the two different psukim, two different forms of chukasakim. Then if you look in the Ramam also, the Ramam, when he quotes the psukim for chukasakim, quotes the pasuk over there from Echa Yavda Goyim Vesayim Esalahim. The Yerushalmiach points out, you see from the Ramam, that he also understood like the Ramban, that the pshuto shel mikra in that pasuk is talking about introducing Minhag Avodah Zarah into the Jewish religion. Anyway, getting back over here, Soloveitchik thought that maybe that's the reason why the Arizal was opposed to the reciting of Yigdal, because maybe it's a chukasak, maybe it was picked up from the Catholics. But to recite Adon Olam at the end of Ma'ariv, he thought that makes sense. That means that you're demonstrating that even though you finished davening, you're all finished, you're prepared to daven again. And that's what it means. The Shlosh Advarim Tzrich Mechizuk. So one is Tefillah, and one is Torah. Then the Gemara says the third one is Parnasa. A person has to work for Parnasa. People, young people who study in Yeshiva think that Parnasa flies in Menashemayim. There are tzaddikim who just say Tehillim and the Parnasa, money flies in Menashemayim. I haven't met those tzaddikim yet. The people that I know have to work for a living. So the Gemara says that one of the Shlosh Advarim, that Tzrich Mechizuk, is Parnasa. You have to have a job and you have to work for Parnasa. So the commentaries on Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah say that everybody says chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, except for the one who got the aliyah. The one who got the aliyah has to say the Baruch HaShenasan on the Terasem is right after the psukim. It's not right. It's considered a hefsik if he will say chazak, chazak. In the Lubavitcher Luach, they write that the minig chabad is that the one who gets the aliyah does say chazak also. But most other communities, the minig is that bedavka not. The one who gets the aliyah should not be mafsik, he should say, everyone else should say chazak, chazak. Some claim that it's a misprint, that the minig always was that the Balkori lain the last pasuk, and the tzibur said along, after the chazan said, after the Balkori said the last pasuk, the tzibur said the last pasuk as well. And the word chazak is a Russian tevis, chazan kohol. But not that you say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. But in Shulchan Aruch it says not so. Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes it. Did you say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek? And it's based on this Gemara and Brachas. The Shlosh Advarim Tzrich Mechizuk.
If the Balkori got the aliyah, would you say
chazak then? You should not say. Whoever gets the aliyah should not say. So someone else, the Gabbai should scream out. He should make up with the Gabbai. The Gabbai will scream out. We got a lot of screamers. We'll get someone.
Why was Friday night done on the lunch? It should be every night
then. Yeah. Yeah. Don't know.
Then, by Sfaradim, the minhag is to say Yigdal at night and say Adon Olam after Tefillah in the morning. And it kind of makes sense because Adon Olam is the beginning of Tefillah Shacharit, but Adon Olam is not the beginning of Tefillah Arbit, so they say Yigdal after Arbit Friday night.
Okay. Each community has its own minhag. Yaakov Avinu requests of Yosef that he should swear to him that he's going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want to be buried in Eretz Mitzrayim. And he asks him to do chesed v'yemes. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Chesed v'yemes, the chesed shosim amai meisim is called chesed shalemes, chesed shosim amachayim. If I do a toiva to a living person, I can expect he will probably repay the toiva in some future date. The chesed shosim amameisim, he can't repay it. So that's called chesed shalemes. In Europe, they used to call a chevre kadisha, the chevre gmilas chesed shalemes, because they do a chesed with the mace. What exactly is the Medrash driving at chesed shosim amachayim? You can be mitzapa l'tashlum schar. The person will probably repay the toiva someday in the future. But chesed shosim amameisim is not going to repay it. So there is a mashmos in the Rambam in Hilchas Matnas Aniyim, when he writes all the dinim of tzedakah, that the obligation to give tzedakah, is a chiyah ben adam l'chaveiro. There are three different categories: ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chaveiro, ben adam l'atzmo. Midas, the obligation to have midas tovus, halach the bedrocha is a chiyah ben adam l'atzmo. A person was created b'tzelem elokim, and he has obligation to himself, he owes it to himself to preserve his tzelem alakim. So the Rambam writes there's an obligation to give tzedakah to other people, even to non-Jews, alach de bedrochav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is racham aval kol ma'asav. Rabban Shalom has rachmanis on the dumb animals. Rabban Shalom is on mefarnes all the animals, so we have an obligation to take care of everyone's needs, even the nochrim. But in addition to that, so if it would only be based on that, so if the person would be an oved avodah zarah, then he disqualifies himself. He doesn't deserve a play nochri like Rachma Bakal Masvam Behemoth. Behemoth don't sin. So we all have an obligation to take care of the behemoth, to take care of all the people in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rachma Bakal Masvam. Allah the Bedrocher. Once the person sins and he worships Abba Dizara, so the Mishnah in the end of Kedushin says now he's on a lower level than the behemoth. Behemoth didn't sin. And the person sins. So then the Gemara says, "Mefarnes emaniyei akum imaniyei somim pnei darki shalom." That's only with the Rabbanon, that you have to give tzedakah to non-Jews who worship Abba Dizara. Aniyei akum. That's mepnei darki shalom, and that's a machlekes. And the Mordechai is it only if the two are standing next to each other, the oni who's over Abba Dizara standing next to the Jew, and they both ask for a matana. So I'm only going to give money to the Yisrael. I'm not going to give to the over Abba Dizara. So that's a violation of Darki Shalom. But if an Ovid Abba Dizara is standing asking for a matana, and there is no other Jew there at the time, so I'm not gonna show haflaya. I'm not gonna show any discrimination. I'm not gonna discriminate against. I'm not giving any charity at all. So then in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that you're not mechuyev to give. You're only mechuyev to give to the Nochri Ovid Abba Dizara. If they're both together, so you're not allowed to discriminate. But if there's only nochri, there's a chiyuv min haTorah to give tzedakah. The Rambam writes based on v'halach the bedrocha v'racham av kol masav. So an oni oved avod zara, so it's only darkei shalom when they're both asking not to discriminate. But in addition to that, if he's an oni Yisrael, then it's not only a chiyuv of v'halach the bedrocha, it's a chiyuv bin adam l'chaver. It's a shibud. Mitzvah shebiran l'chaver are considered shibudim. What's the nature of the shibud? So the pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, we should give tzedakah ki lo yechda levyon mikerev haoretz. Al kein anech mitzavcha lasos es hadover hazeh. What kind of an explanation is that? Ki lo yechda levyon mikerev haoretz. So the Barbanel points out, if anything, that should be the reason why it doesn't make sense to obligate people to give tzedakah. You think that by giving charity to the poor, You're going to solve the problem of poverty. Adarabba, this problem is always going to be poverty. So don't think you're going to solve the problem. So what are you wasting your time? Sociologists argue the case that it doesn't make sense to say you should give charity because you're not going to solve the problem anyway. So how does the Chumash give that? That's the Nesina's Tam. The reason why you're obligated to give tzedakah, ki lo yechta lev yemikarev oretz. And then the Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos has a drasha on the pasuk, you should give tzedakah, pesach tivtach as yotcha laniyecha, ki biglal adabar zeh yivarechach Hashem alakecha, ki biglal means bavur adabar zeh, as a reward. So mitzvah says to shematan schar betzida, as a reward for the fact that you give tzedakah, yivarechach Hashem alakecha. So the Gemara has a drasha, biglal, miloshen galgal, that poverty is a galgal hachoyza ba'olam, that there's always going to be someone who's going to be poor. So why did they make the drasha punkt over here by tzedakah? The pasuk says, ki lo yechta alev yimikarev oretz. Why is that in the Nesina's Tam? Why did they make the drasha? So Rav Soloveitchik said over the Abarbanel on that pasuk. Abarbanel says, why should I give charity to the poor? I'm never going to solve the problem of poverty. The answer is I should give to them because someday in the future I will be in need of charity. Now I'm a very rich man. I'm rolling in dough. But no one is ever rich forever. And even if you and your children and your grandchildren will be rich forever, ultimately your great-grandchildren will be in need. So you're obligated to give to others in exchange for which they're obligated to give to you. There's reciprocity here. So that's the Mashmos and the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Anim, that the chiyuv to give tzedakah is bin adam le'atzmo, is based on halach de bedrochav, the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should be dovik in the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is verachem aval kol ma'asov. But in addition to that, it's also a shibud bin adam l'chaveiro, I'm obligated to do for you because you're obligated to do back for me. There's reciprocity. So that chiv is only towards other Jews, because the non-Jews are not mechayiv to give tzedakah. The nochem are not mechayiv to give tzedakah, so there won't be any reciprocity there. So we're mechayiv bin adam l'chaveiro to give to nochrim, because to give to Bnei Yisrael, because they're mechayiv to give back to us. There's such a Gemara in the beginning of Tainus. The Gemara tells a story that there was an old man who planted a tree, and the nature of this tree was such that it took 20 years till any peris would grow. So the people saw the old man, they said, what are you wasting your time? You're not going to live so long. What do you think you're going to live so long? Another 20 years? He's already 90 years old. You're not going to live so long to be nanif in the peris. So he answered them, when I was born into the world, these kind of trees were here, and I feel an obligation to give back. That's reciprocity. We're mechuyev to do for others because the others are mechuyev to do for us. Everyone's mechuyev to do for each other. So that's a chesed that shows in the machayim. You can be mitzapa the tashel meschar. That's what the Medrash is saying. The yisoid adin of all chesed shebin adam l'chaveiro is because I'm mechuyev to do for you. I'm mechuyev to dance at your wedding because you're going to be mechuyev to dance at my wedding. Mechuyev to give you tzedakah to be menachem ovel, whatever, because you're mechuyev to be menachem ovel by me. Everyone is mechuyev to reciprocate to each other. In fact, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Shushbinu says Nigvis Bebezin. If I danced at your wedding and I gave you a matana, $100, and then when I get married, I send you an invitation and you don't show up, I can force your bezin, will make you pay me back $100. Shushbinu says Nigvis. Shushbinu means the matana that you gave for the chasana is Nigvis Bebezin. It's understood that there's reciprocity over here. I invite you to the wedding, you're supposed to come. When you got married, we all lived in New York. When I got married, you live in Eretz Yisrael already. So then you're not expected to fly in from Eretz Yisrael to attend my wedding. Within reason, there's expected to be reciprocity. So the pasuk says that the chesed shosim emameisim, that's called chesed shalemis. Eni mitzapta letashu mischar. Why is that called chesed shalemis? So perhaps the pshat is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in Tanakh as having many different midas. So the Chazon Ish writes in his Kuntres Emuna Bitochon, he thinks that it sounds a little funny that Hashem is Kel Echod and he has all of these different midas. Sounds like different aspects of Elokus. So there must be one mida that describes the essence of Elokus. So the Chazon Ish talks about that. What is the one single mida that describes Elokus? So there is a Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma tells a story that once a note fell down from heaven and it was signed Emes. So they understood that it was signed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Chaysom HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. It sounds a little bit for Nigmar as if the Iker Midah Velikus is Midah Sa Emes. I'm not sure exactly what that means. It doesn't mean that God never tells a lie, You have in Bereshis earlier that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishanim Ipnei Dak Yerushalem, that he told Avraham Avinu that Sarah Lama Zetzach HaKal Sarah Leymar Afum Nomei Leid Bani Zakanti. She didn't say Bani Zakanti, she said Badaini Zakim. My husband is an old man. She didn't say about herself Bani Zakanti. So you learn out from that pasuk that it's Mutal Lashanis Mipnei Dak Yerushalem. Mitzvah l'shanim. So you see that God also tells a white lie once in a while. What does it mean that he can meet a velukus of emes? It does mean emes, telling the truth and telling a lie. Emes means something else, not to exaggerate one's position in the world. So maybe that's the pshat over here, that the chesed shoisim l'mameisim, there is no shibud bein adam l'chaveiro, because in order to have a shibud bein adam l'chaveiro, you have to have reciprocity. The dead man can't reciprocate over here. Chesed shoisim l'mameisim is based on v'halachta bedrochav. That's called chesed shalemis. Chesom shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. Ika mida velukus is mida so emes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is v'racham aval kol ma'aseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats people with dignity. So we have to treat even the meisim with dignity. That's called a chesed shalemis. The Gemara talks about kavod habriyos. The pasuk kavod habriyos, the mitzvah of kavod habriyos is the pasuk lo yitama. It says in Parshas Emor that a kohen is not permitted to be mitamei lemeisim, unless it's one of the seven relatives. If his sister dies, so the pasuk says lo yitamo. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, Rabbi Kivin, Rabbi Shmuel, and Seitan, Dav Gimel and Aleph, whether lo yitamo is a rishus or lo yitamo is a chayva. So we paskin la'alocha like Rabbi Kivin, lo yitamo is a chayva. But the Gemara says in the end of Zvachim, on Dav Kuf, in the end of Zvachim, a famous sugya there, that this was a machlokes before they were born, before Rabbi Kivin and Rabbi Shmuel were born. This machlokes is bam by sheni. Whether lo yitam is a rishus, lo yitam is a chayva, and it was always the majority opinion. Always was that it's a chayva. So what's the aside of lo yitam the chayva? Kavod habriyos, and that pasuk happens to be speaking about kavod hameisim. The Gemara assumes in Ksubas that kavod hachaim is mocham and then kavod hameisim. That's a kavod chayma. The pasuk says you even have to be lo yitam. You even have to be mechabed the meisim. Kavod chayma that you have to be mechabed the chayim. Many people, they don't show respect for others, but after they die, then all of a sudden they're respectful. It's supposed to be the reverse. While the person is alive, he's supposed to show more respect for them. We said that when the Chevra Kadisha bring in the mace, everybody stands up. Everybody thinks they're standing up out of respect for the mace. We never stood up while he was alive. What if he was standing up while he died? So the Bar Tanura writes on Mishnayos. They're standing up out of respect for the Chevra Kadisha who are performing a mitzvah now. They're carrying the mace. And he says that the Bar Tanur writes it on the Mishnah in Bikurim. When the Mevi'i Bikurim came through the streets of Yerushalayim, everyone stood up. Even though they were employed by someone else, and the din is you're not supposed to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. If you're self-employed, so stand up, be mevatel 10 minutes of your learning. But if you're employed by someone else and you're salaried, you're not supposed to be mevatel time from the boss's time to stand up. But for Oisei Mitzvah, you have to be mechabin more than Talmud Chachamim. So that's what the Bar Tanura says when the kvata brings in the baby for the bris, you're not standing up out of respect for the baby. The baby is a baby. What does he deserve respect? The baby didn't have a bris, deserves so much respect. So he says, no, we're standing up out of respect for the kvata who's going to take the baby to do a mitzvah, to perform the milah, and when the Chevra Kadisha bring in the mace, we're standing up out of respect for the Chevra Kadisha, not out of respect for the mace. So the halacha says that kavod chaim is mochav and then kavod hameis. And you have, the Gemara says that kavod habriyos is derech adinim derabbanan. So there's a big machlokes in Rishonim, and the Mishnah Berurah has a long arichas on this. It was that's one of the topics that the Meiri wrote in his Sefer Magen Avos. After the Ramban passed away, so the Rashba started giving shiurim in Barcelona. So apparently a lot of the students felt, oh, I'm going to listen to his shiur. We were together in class. Who does he know better than me? What does he know better than me? So they decided the grass is greener on the other side. They're going to go and learn in Provence by the bigger Talmid Chacham, who know how to learn better than the Rashba. So they came to Provence. Provence was in between Spain and France. And they had their own Ninhogim there in Provence. So the Talmid HaRamban came there and they made Agansa Machlaikas. They made a whole tumult that they're not following the dinim over there. So the Meiri lived then in Provence. He was a contemporary of the Rashba and the Rosh. So he wrote a whole sefer Magen Avos to defend the Minhag HaVosof, all the Minhagim there. So one of the issues that they had a debate was, I think, 24 issues or something. What is about saying Kel Melech Nemon when you say Kriya Shema? One is whether you say a bracha on dessert at the end of the meal, whether you say bar pi ha'etz or not. All the old machlokes and everything over again. So one of the 24 topics, and they call it Shadus and Chuvus Amiri. It's not Shadus and Chuvus. It's only to defend Minig Amokim, Minig Avoisim. So one of the topics is when you have Cholila Kvura on the Yontav Sheni Shal Golias. So it says you can bury Ayidei Yisrael. You have a Kvura on Yontav Rishon, you have to bury Ayidei Akum. So does that mean only the Malocha Deraisa that you do on Yontav Rishon should be done by Akum? What about the things that are only the Rabbana? Maybe the reason why Yisrael is permitted to bury the mace on Yontav Sheni, the Gemara says Yontav Sheni Legabi Mace, Kechol Shavu Rabbana. So is that a special din? Yontav Sheni Legabi Mace, Kechol Shavu Rabbana? Or is that the old din that covered Abrius is Deiche Dinim de Rabbana? Yontav Sheni is the Rabbana. So Kvur on Yontav Rishon, the Goy should drive the car. I don't know, maybe the Jew can drive the car also. Whatever is only the Rabbana, the Jew can do also. So let's say Tiltal Muktzah, to wash down the body, to do the Tahara, that's only Tiltal Muktzah, that's only the Rabbanans. So maybe whatever is only the Rabbanan, Yisraelim should do, because it's Mobukovedik. So that's a big Machlaikas, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Meiri, from the Magen Avos, he quotes this big Machlaikas. Mishnah Berurah had it without the Meiri also, but he refers you to the Meiri, has a long essay on the topic. So the Machlaikas is whether, when we say that Kavod Rabbis is Decha Dinim de Rabbanan, God will cover Rabbi Shadacha Lesesse Shabbat Torah. The Gemara says, what Lesesse? Lesesse of Lesosser. Lesosser is the marker for all the dinim derabbanon, the binding force for all the dinim derabbanon. So that's a big machlekes Rishonim. Is that only Kavod Achayim is Doiched dinim derabbanon? They're even Kavod Amesim also. Because Al Pi Din, it's a big difference. Kavod Achayim is a Shibud. Kavod Amesim is Vahalachta Bedrochav. It's a different din. It's not just that the Kavod Achayim takes precedence when you have a conflict between Kavod Achayim and Kavod Amesim. The Gemara says we have a crossroads, and here there's a group of people going with a funeral. They want to bury a mace. Here's a group of people going with a chas and kala to celebrate their wedding, and they come to a crossroads. Who goes first? So the Gemara quotes a brisa: the chas and kala go first because kavod chaim takes precedence over kavod mace. So the hesber over here is not stam; it takes precedence. They're kedimas. It's a totally different din. Kavod chaim is shibudim. Kavod mace is a different din. V'halach de bedrochav. It's not Bein Adam L'Chavera. There are no Bein Adam L'Chaveras to dead people. It's Bein Adam L'Yatzmo, V'Halach D'Virochim, because of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zveracham of HaKol Ma'asav. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash over here that Yankov Avinu had a lot of reasons why he didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim, and he wanted Davkit to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. In addition to all of the reasons that Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the three reasons, And then Yosef promises him, he swears, Anochi Esekid Varecha. So the Bereshis Rabbah has an interpretation, Anochi Esekid Varecha, when I'll come to the end of my days, I'll also give instructions to my children that they should bury me in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what it says in the end of the parsha, that Yosef tells the brothers, Yosef died before the brothers. It says, Vayamas Yosef Echolacha V'chola Darahu. So apparently Yosef died before the brothers. That's in the beginning of Chumash Mois. Why did Yosef die before the brothers? Because Rabbonis Mikabera says by Lehom, because he was in politics. So you go into politics, he died young. He died younger than the other brothers. And the last one to die was Levi. He outlived all the others. So Yosef, before he dies, He does exactly what the father did. He wants them to realize that the Yank, in addition to the three reasons that Rashi gives, others say that there's an additional reason. This Rav Soloveitchik always used to say about that. It says, in the present. What does it say in the present? It's in the past. This happened over 3,000 years ago. Why is it written Meloshen Haiva? They had already come to when the time Moshe Rabbeinu is writing the Chumash. It already happened a long time before. So the answer, is, if a person lives in Golus, he lives in Chutz Lord, and he feels comfortable there, then he's going to pick up everything from the society. He's going to pick up all of the negative, attitudes from the goyim. If he feels like a stranger, if he feels like a greener. The Jews that came from Europe came to America. They spoke Yiddish. They felt very uncomfortable here. So those were the greener. So that was a maila, that they didn't blend in with the society. It posed a problem because the children picked up English right away and the children didn't speak Yiddish. So there was a generation gap between the parents and the children. And the children, a lot of times, Americanized. But if a person is in Chutz Lortz and he realizes that he doesn't belong here, they felt as if they just came. They were there for 210 years and they were supposed to feel as if they just came. So that would have been a mila. So that's why Yaakov, in addition to all the other reasons, Yaakov Avinu says, my roots are in Eretz Yisrael. I want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef also gives instructions. I want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Make sure you don't bury me here. They all felt that they belong in Eretz Yisrael and they don't belong here in Chutz Lortz. And they say for Hasidim, he says, if a Jew lives in Chutz Lortz, he has to build a home. Okay, so you got to build a home. But he says, you shouldn't build a brick home. You shouldn't build a stone home. You build a wooden home. If someone else, a guy, built a home, okay, so he can buy a brick house. But a Jew should build a brick home in Chutz Lortz. He came here to Hishtakeya. When they visited Par, they said, Logabaretz Banu, came here Latan Asher Lavadach, Kichobet Arab, the Eretz Mitzrayim. So they said, Logabaretz Banu. So the Haggadah explains, they didn't come to Mitzrayim Hishtakeya, El Loga, just to live temporarily. We should all retain that attitude that we don't really belong here. We all belong in Eretz Yisrael. All the Jews belong in Eretz Yisrael. We all have to have plans, ultimately, to move to Eretz Yisrael sooner or later. Rashi, in the beginning of the parsha, quotes a medrash, Lama parsha zu stuma. There is no hafsok between the end of Vayigash and the beginning of Vayichi. There's no psucha, there's no stuma, there's nothing. There's no hafsok, it's just the next pasuk starts Vayichi. So he says, Kivin shenifta yankav avinu nistumu einem ulibam shal yisal metzoros hashibut. Sheizchilu l'shabdom. So some of the darshanim say that Kozman, that Yaakov Avinu was alive, he was the greener, and he had geret Yiddish, and he still spoke Loshna Kodesh, and he told them he dressed like an Eretz Yisrael, he didn't want to dress like the goyim. So there was no need for a shibud. Yaakov Avinu told them, we don't belong here, and when I die, you got to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. We're all Eretz Yisrael, the good people. And after Yaakov Avinu died, so the next generation already got used to it. So the Baruch Shalom had to make a shibud that they should realize that they don't belong here. When the Jews become too comfortable in Chutz Lortz, the Baruch Shalom brings a shibud to remind them that we don't belong. The first time when Yankif Vayikruv Me Yisrael Amus, he feels that he's going to die. He's old and sick. So he tells his son Yosef, make sure that you bury me in Eretz Yisrael, and he swears and that's it. The second time, and says, we don't know how long a pause there was between the first time and the second time. Could be a few years. We don't know. Second time, they give Yosef a message, Hini Avicha Chole. There's a famous Pirkei the Reb Lezer on this, Hini Avicha Chole. This was the first time in the history of the world that anybody ever got sick. That's how the Pirkei the Reb Lezer says. That from the day Miyom Shinivra Ha'olam, no one ever got sick. But just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave life to Adam Arishan, Vayipach Piapov Nishmas Chaim, he blew into his nose. So too, when it was time for someone to die, all the people till the days of Yaakov Avinu, they would sneeze, like the life was given by Vayipach Piapov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew air through the nostrils. And when it was time to die, the people would sneeze and they would drop dead wherever they were. That was the end. So Yaakov Avinu was Mespalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me an opportunity to give a last will and testament to my children. I don't want to tell it now at the age of 100. I may live another 47 years. How long did he live? 147 years or something. So he says, let me get sick first. So this is the first time in the history of the world. And that's why the minig is, the Pirkei the Reb Lezer, that's why the minig is, that when someone sneezes, they say, Gesundheit. They say, Asusa, because until the days of Yaakov Avinu, whoever would sneeze, that would be the opposite of Ayipach Piapach Nishmas Chaim. The air would go through the nostril and they would drop dead on the spot. So since the days of Yaakov Avinu, people sneeze and they don't drop dead. So we say Gesundheit. He shouldn't die. So it says that the Yaakov Avinu got sick. So Yosef brings his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. He wants the father to give them a bracha. So when they come for the bracha, so Yaakov Avinu starts giving a ganza maisa. You know, when your mother died, we were not far from Ephrat, and I buried your mother on the road. Ek b'rav sham b'derech Ephrat hi beis lochem. And then Rashi quotes from the Medrash, and I know you may have tainis against me, Why didn't bury your mother in the Moras HaMachpelah, but don't have any tainas that it was Apia Dibur? So the question begs itself. The first time in the parasha, the first time Yaakov Avinu speaks to Yosef, he wants him to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So he should have told him at that time, in case you have any tainas. I want you to know that it was Apia Dibur. The first time he just makes him swear and that's it. Then the second time, when Yosef brings his children for a bracha, then he starts carrying on the whole conversation. It's interesting. So apparently, someone printed a sefer recently in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that if you tell your children that they should please do something, you start giving a whole explanation, then they can dray, well, the whole reason is only this, and the reason doesn't apply under these circumstances, they'll shuttle away. So the first time Yaakov had to make sure that he gets it straight, I'm giving you instructions. Keep it up. I'm mitzvah you. I want you to swear. You have to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. No ifs, ands, and buts. That's it. Period. The end. The second time he came, he wanted a bracha for his children. Then he starts to explain to him that you should know that you shouldn't have any tarumas against me. I buried your mother on the highway because it was al pi adibur. But the first time he didn't want to give him any explanation, because then Yosef later on, after he's going to die, Yosef may decide to say, well, if that's the reason, he's not satisfied with the reason. What taka was the explanation that Yankov gave? He says, when the Jews will be sent into Golis after Churban Bayis Rishon, they'll be traveling to Bavel on this highway, and they'll be able to, they'll pray by Kever Rachel, and then Rachel will pray, Rachel Mavak Albana, Rachel will pray, the dead Rachel Imen will pray for them, and it'll be good for the Jews. So it sounds as if Yaakov Avinu is perhaps saying like this: what's the whole mila being buried in Moras HaMachpelah? Moras HaMachpelah is a mokum miyuchad letfilah. You see, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim, so Yeshua was afraid that he's going to fall in with the other Meraglim, so he went to Hebron to daven. Yeshua and Kalev, only Kalev. Kalev went to Hebron to daven. So you see from the Chumash that Moras HaMachpelah is a mokum miyuchad letfilah. So Yaakov Avinu says the whole mila being buried in Moras HaMachpelah is that it's a mokum miyuchad letfilah. You should know that Kever Rachel is also a mokum miyuchad letfilah. Just as much, just as important. It's a strange. He's talking to the children. Yaakov Avinu is talking to the children. He was in Mitzrayim already for 17 years. What is the first time he sees Menashe of Ephraim? He must have seen them many times, and all of a sudden he asks, who's that? He didn't know who they were. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, they wanted to give them a blessing that they should develop in the future. He designated them as Shvatim, Kiruvim Mishim and Yehiruli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Hidni Mafrachodi Hirbisuchan Satich al Kalam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that I'm going to have more Shvatim. I'm going to have another two Shvatim. And he only had Binyamin. So what's the additional Shevet Le Kalamim? Going to be two additional Shvatim. So I understood, Yaakov Avinu said, I understood from the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I will have the right to split one of the Shvatim. So that blessing I'm giving you, your two children should be like Reuven and Shimon, just like Reuven and Shimon are two Shvatim. So Menashe and Ephraim should also be considered two Shvatim. That's what he says. Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvim Vishim and Yehiruli. That's how Rashi understands the parsha. So he knows who they are, but because he's giving them brachas that they should develop to become two Shvatim, and if you'll have any more children, they won't be additional Shvatim. That's it. Only Menashe and Ephraim. The others, any other children you have, will not be Nikroim as a separate Shevet. So he's looking into the future to see what's going to be. So Rashi quotes on the Medrash, and he says, Me'ela, what's going on over here? But I see Rishoyim are going to come out of Menashe, and Rishoyim are going to come out of Ephraim. So, look, everyone has Rishoyim. So what Sheva doesn't have Rishoyim? So he was just shaken up a little bit. It's not that he didn't feel that they were worthy of a bracha. He was shaken up. What's going on over here? So he says, who is this? Who is this? What's going on? He was shaken up. So Yosef tells him, it's okay. What does it mean? So Rashi quotes again from the Medrash. Bazeh. Usually, zeh. The Gemara says zeh kelev yanveya means that they were able to point with their finger. Hera biedzba. It says achodesh hazeh lochem. Zeh ma'isa menorah. Zeh yitun kol oivra al pkudim. Whatever it says zeh. So the Gemara quotes all these psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them Zem Ha'isa Menorah. He showed them a Menorah Shalesh. And Zelechem Atomei, Moshe Rabbeinu picked up the animal. He showed all the animals to Bnei Yisrael to show which animals are kosher, which animals are treif. So here also, when he says, Bona Hemeshon Asan Lelekim Bazeh, the Pashib Shat means, God bless me, I had these two children here in Egypt, Bazeh. But the word Zeh in Chumash, the Gemara always understands as some physical object that you're showing the other person. So what physical item did Yosef show Yaakov Avinu? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he showed Yaakov Avinu the Shtar Erison. The Shtar Erison and the Ksuba. What was the significance of showing the Shtar Erison? So the Brisker Rav explains that by Bnei Noach there is no such thing as Erison separate from the sun. There is no Kiddush Kesef. Gemara says there's only Kiddush Biya. And the Kiddush Biya makes the whole marriage. There's Nisuin. By us we have Erison and we have Nisuin. By the Umas Olam, the Gemara says, Bulas Bal Yesh Lahem, Nichnas Al-Chupa V'Lai Nivala Ein Lahem. They don't have such a thing as Nichnas Al-Chupa V'Lai Nivala, what we call Erison. They have Kiddush Biya and that makes the Nisuin. That's it. So Yosef shows his father, he shows him this physical item of the Shtar Erison, and the Ksuba, he says, I married a Jewish girl, I didn't marry a Nachris. The children are Jewish, they are Ruyim Lebracha. Yankov looked into the future and he saw Rishoyim coming at him and Asher Ephraim, so he thought that it must be that the marriage was no good, that Yosef married a Nachris. So he says, no, she was a Jewish girl, I married a Jewish girl, V'araya, here's the Shtar Erison. It seems that Kodim Atentor, you didn't need a bezin. That's what it looks like. The whole din that you need a bezin apparently is only after Atentor. Rashi writes a loshen that, a strange loshen that the Ramban asks on, that when your mother died, when Rachel died, I wasn't even matriach to bring her back to Eretz Yisrael. She died in Chutz Lortz and I buried her there in Chutz Lortz. Ramban says, what is he talking about? Kevin Rachel is in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. What kind of Chutz Lortz? So the Chasam Sefer has, in his Drosha Sanchumish, he has a famous comment, that Eretz Yisrael didn't get Kedusha until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, until Sheva Shekov, Sheva Shechilku. It says in Sefer Yeshua that it took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara says they had an oral tradition that just like it took 7 years to conquer, so it took 7 years to divide all of Eretz Yisrael. And the Chalukas Haaretz was the Gemara of the Kibush. So the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was only Nishlama after the Kibush was completed, after the Sheva Shekov, Sheva Shechilku. So Eretz Yisrael, the days of Avraham Avinu, the days of the Avos, till Yeshua Ben-Nun, didn't have any Kedusha, except the Chasam Sefer suggests, except for those locations that they bought. So Avraham Avinu bought the Moras HaMachpelo, so the Chasam Sefer said maybe that had Kedusha, because he bought it. And then opposite Shechem, Vayikan Eschelkas HaSoda, Yaakov Avinu bought it, so those locations that they bought had Kedusha. So if you say like that, she was buried in Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't have Kedusha Soharetz. It didn't have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. See, that's perhaps what the Medrash means that Rashi is quoting, that he didn't bother to bury her in Eretz Yisrael. He was Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't that part of Eretz Yisrael that had Kedusha Eretz.
But Avraham Avinu was called the Kunis Halech Ba'aretz, but not the Kinyan Halicha.
Right, the Gemara says he was Koina, all of Eretz Yisrael, by walking around, but it still didn't have the Kedusha. So only those locations, those special locations that they purchased, those had Kedusha. That's how the Chasam Sofer suggests. Rashi quotes in the Medrash that when Yaakov Avinu declared Ephraim and Manasseh, Kirubim, Vishim, and Yehudi, he's declaring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the Haftocha, Goya Kalgoy Miyemi Mecca, you're going to have another two Shvatim. And only Binyamin was born, so Yaakov understood that he has a right to divide one of the Shvatim into two. So he's giving that Matana to Yosef, that his two children should constitute two Shvatim. Just like Reuven and Shimon are two separate Shvatim, so to Ephraim and Manasseh are also two separate independent Shvatim. Rav Soloveitchik used to give in his drushes, he used to say, in a certain sense, Ephraim and Manasseh were grandchildren, and Reuven and Shimon were children. So in the Jewish people, we try to see to it that there should be no generation gap, that there should be a kesher between grandparents and grandchildren, and even further. Rabbi Chalap is once telling us that he had a meet with some Japanese nachrim on Chalamoid Sukkos. He had a luncheon meeting here in the yeshiva, in the sukkah. So he said he bought some food in the cafeteria and they walked into the sukkah. And then Rabbi Chalap started reciting the Ushpizim. So this Japanese man looking at him, what's this all about? So he explains to him that we were all descendants of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and so on, and we invite the souls of our ancestors to come to be with us in the sukkah, to fulfill the mitzvah sukkah with us. So he said, so Rabbi Chalap told the Japanese man, you people also, you're connected with your ancestors also. They have a concept of ancestor worship. So he said, not from 3,000 years ago. They only have a connection with their parents and their grandparents. That's as far as it goes. It doesn't go past that. So he says the Japanese Nochri was very surprised that the Jewish people feel connected all the way back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way back 3,000 years ago. There is a Gemara in Bava Basra, but the Gemara has a Machlokes Amoraim, how far Akroivim Pasala Eidus. So one Amora says that a Shlishi Berishan, two brothers are called Rishon Berishan. And two cousins are called Sheni B'Sheni, the next generation, Sheni B'Sheni. And if the second cousin, that's called Shlishi B'Shlishi. So Shlishi B'Shlishi is Kosher Eidus. What's the din of Rishon B'Shlishi? Let's say my great uncle, my mother's uncle, Rishon B'Shlishi. He's the grandfather and the children and the grandchildren. So I'm a Shlishi, my great uncle is a Rishon B'Shlishi. So the Gemara has a Machlokes, but the Rishon B'Shlishi is Kosher Apostle. So the Gemara says, one Amora held Rishon B'Shlishi is Kosher, and it was Machshu Avu Adiyaba. Not only the great uncle can testify with me, my grandfather with me is Rishon B'Shlishi. Then the Gemara says, V'leis Hilchus HaKavos, say, we don't pasken like that. Why not? If Rishon B'Shlishi is Kosher, why can't the grandfather testify for or against the grandson? So the Rishonim have three different shitas. So one opinion is, three different, you look in the Gemara Bava Basra. So the Rashbam there on that Gemara quotes one of the Rishonim says, you're right, Rishon B'Shlishi is kosher, so the great uncle with the great nephew are kosher ladies together. But if it's a direct descendant, that's called Bnei Banim Harem Kibanim, and everyone is Pasalaitis to Avraham Avinu. Whoever is a direct descendant from Avraham Avinu, even 20, even 50 generations later, is Pasalaitis. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik was saying. Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim, Shem and Yehuli, Yaakov Avinu is the first one who said that Bnei Banim Harem Kibanim. Rashi quotes in the Medrash that it has a different meaning here, that I'm declaring them as Shvatim just like Reuven and Shimon are two Shvatim. But another, that's perhaps an additional level of interpretation, what Rashi says. And the Pshutosh on Mikra, perhaps he's saying that Bnei Banim Harem Kibanim, that we don't want to have any generation gap. How can you not have a generation gap? You all have to work for the same goal. If everybody's interested in music and art and culture, so in every generation there's a different culture. Everything keeps on changing. But if everybody has something, all the generations have something in common. We have the Torah that binds us together. Torah and mitzvahs. So the same Torah and mitzvahs that our ancestors observed, we observe also. So that's why, in a certain sense, there is no generation gap by the Jewish people. That's why it's talking not right. And a lot of shuls, they have a junior congregation. The children daven on their own. They're their own gaboim. They have their own bal tefillah. It's not right. The children should daven next to their parents, next to their grandparents. They should carry on all the tradition next to their great-grandparents. Or sometimes the shul is just not big enough to have everybody daven together. Okay, so you got no choice. But whenever you do have a choice, so it's preferable that all the families should daven together to see to it that there shouldn't be a generation gap. They should all have this attitude that they're all the generations from Avraham Avinu till our generation. We're all working towards the same goal. It's one big Umma HaYisraelis. Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu could hardly see any sokovda mizoykin lo yuchali ros. So that's why he asks, the Sforno says, that's why he asks, kochem noelai v'avorachem. When you give a brocha, the brocha has to be b'loshe noichach. You don't say, the Rabbanu Shalom should bless you. That's a tefillah. If you're talking to the Rabbanu Shalom, that's a tefillah. I have to talk to the person. I have to face the person. Let's say if the person is not here, I say, I offer a prayer that he should have a refuah shleima. That's a tefillah. If I speak to the person, I say, the Rabbanu Shalom should give you a refuah shleima. That's a brocha. So the closer the person is to the Mizbarech, the Mavarech is to the Mizbarech, So the more chance there is that the bracha will be chal. So normally a person is able to see. So I look at the one in front of me and I give a bracha. So here the Sfarno says, "Any so kovdu mizok and lo yuchal iros," he couldn't see. So he said they should come closer. Vayishaklam, vayichabeklam, he had to hug them and kiss them. Kochmano alai vavarchem, you have to see them. The bracha should be chal. That's what the Sfarno has a whole comment on Parshas v'zois habracha. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give a bracha. So he says, where does the bracha begin? He says, Hashem yisina abba b'zorach m'sei alam hafiyam hapa apcha v'amal kol kadosh b'adacha Torah tivolana Moshe v'hi v'shur melech. The bracha didn't begin yet. This is all a hakdama. Then the bracha one would have thought begins yichi ruvim v'al yamos v'hi m'sav m'spar. So the Sfarno said, that's not a bracha, that's a tefillah. He should have said Tichya, Val Tamus. He says Yechi Reuven is talking to Rabban Shalom. He's not talking to him. If I say Yivarechecha Hashem, God should bless you, that's called a bracha. Then you continue, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda is a tefillah. Lelevi Amar Tumecho Beurecho. He's speaking to Rabban Shalom. Tumecho Beurecho. You should give your Urim Etumim Leish Chasidecha. He's not talking to Levi. He keeps on talking to Rabban Shalom. He did Hashem Lishkon LaBetach Olav. The Shechina should be Sharam Binyamin. Everything is Beloshen Nista, not Beloshen Noichach. So the Sfarno claims that the Bracha doesn't begin till the last Pasuk. Barzel and Achoshes Min Olechach Yom Echad Avech. The Sfarno says that's the last Pasuk Chafei. And to the end of all the Brachas, he says everything is a Tefillah. And the bracha was given to Medina Yisrael. Barzal Anachosh is min olecha. Eretz Yisrael should be secure. Uchi amecha davecha, just like in the early days of Yishua ben Nun, the Medina was secure, that the enemies didn't have any terrorists. They weren't successful in terrorizing the Jews. So too, davecha, the later years of the Medina should also be secure. So the second half of the bracha, Uchi amecha davecha, was not mekuyim in our time. No, the Medina is not 100% secure. Every so often they have a terrorist attack. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give the bracha. He wanted to cross over the Yarden and give the bracha from close up, that everything should be mekuyim. The Baruch Shalom wanted to punish Bnei Yisrael. He didn't want everything to last forever. So he didn't let... How does the pasuk say? Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'Hashem misaba bi lemanchem. The Baruch Shalom got angry at me because of you, and he didn't... He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Sfarno has in the beginning of Eschanan. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give the bracha. Vezos HaBracha was the bracha Barzal Anachoshes Min Olecha. He wanted to give the bracha to Medinas Yisrael from up close, like Yaakov Avinu gave the bracha from up close to Menashe Ephraim. He wanted every word of the bracha to be mekuyim. So then Moshe Rabbeinu says he didn't let me. He says he's not going to let me give the bracha from up close. Give the bracha alei al har avor mazeh alei rosh apizga. Give the bracha from a distance. Give the bracha from a distance. It won't all be mekuyim. So the second half was not mekuyim. Barzal Nechoshes Min Olecha in the early years was mekuyim. All the mochamas that they had in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun were all with Nisim. Everything was lamayla min hatevach. Yamecha Devecha was not mekuyim, because the bracha was not given from close up. That's the Sfarno repeats this theme in his commentary on Chumash. So he finally gives them, Yankov Avinu finally gives them brachas, and then he says, B'choy v'ach Yisrael le'emar yisim chalakim kefray mechim enashe. I remember the Mashgiach Zechon Lebracha in the yeshiva, Rabbi Lesson, always used to give a drasha by a bris. He always used to mention the Tag Mionis in Benizil, and this pasuk says, B'choy v'ach Yisrael b'yom ha'demahulta. On the day of a bris, he gives the baby this blessing. So he says, why on the day of a bris? Why not when the children are older? They said, because Menashe and Ephraim were different personalities. Ephraim was the one who was sitting learning with the grandfather. Menashe was a politician. He was Isaac in politics. Yiddish from a politics, a good politics. But Ephraim was the Kolonik, and Menashe said, they're two different people. So how do you give a bracha to a child who should grow up to be a matzliach and learning and be a good politician? They're two different things. So the yom de mehulta, when the baby has a bris, you don't know which direction he's going to go. So then you give a bracha. Whatever you do, you should be matzliach. If you're going to go into learning, you should be matzliach. If you're going to go into politics, you should be matzliach. But when a person is older, it doesn't make sense to give such a bracha in two different directions. Then the pasuk continues that Yaakov Avinu was holding by the end already. They told Yosef, "Hinei avicha chayla." This is the last machla that he had. So he asks the children to gather together. That's why the Pirkei de Rablazer said he prayed to the Rabbanu Shel Olam that there should be sickness, so he should be able to give a last will and testament, give brachas and give instructions to his children before he dies. So that's why he gives him instruction. So the Gemara understands the phrase, Medrash, Gemara and Psachim understands the phrase, Bachros Hayomim, in the end of days, in Bizman Mashiach. That Bikish Yankov Galus HaSakeitz, he wanted to tell the children when Mashiach is going to come. It's Talkan Men of Ruach HaKodesh. So he thought, Mistama, this Indian is Eim Galan Elel Itznuin. Maybe the children are not Roy Lakach. Say Shema Yesh Beinechem Psul. Maybe someone is not 100% frum. What did the Yiddishkeit consist of at that time? They didn't have to keep Shabbos and Kashrus. That was voluntary. So what do you mean Shema Yesh Beinechem Psul? What can the Psul be? So the ganze Yiddishkeit only was that they had to perform Bris Milah. They had to have Emuna. Lios L'chol L'kim U'L'Zarach Acharecha. And the Gemara and Yivam is Dav Kufa understand the Zarach Acharecha, Zar Miyuchas Achrov, that they weren't allowed to intermarry. If a Jewish person marries an Achriz, then the children are not going to be Jewish. So they were told, Lios L'chol L'kim, you have to have a Muna, L'Zarach Acharecha, not to marry an Achrios, and they have to subscribe to the fact that Eretz Yisrael is their national homeland. Everyone's going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's in Parshas Lech Lecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the bris with Avraham Avinu, he gives them the bris milah, he gives them Eretz Yisrael as a matana, and he says, you have to see to it, Lios L'chol L'kim L'Zarach Acharecha. So Yaakov Avinu knew that all of his children had a bris milah. He was there, but all the weddings, he knew that none of them married Nachrios. Rashi quotes a medrash that they did marry Nachrios. It's a problematic medrash. But this medrash understands that Yaakov Avinu knew that they weren't intermarried, that they were all Zionists, because they all wanted to move back to Eretz Yisrael. Just didn't know if they have a munah. How can you tell by looking at a person if he has a munah? So he says, maybe Yesh Beinechem Psul, maybe somebody has Sveikus in a munah. So they all scream out to the father, the Gemara says, Shema Yisrael, Dad, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we believe in the same monotheism that you believe in. So Yaakov Avinu is so excited, he's jumping from joy, he says, Baruch Shem, Kvay Malchusa L'Yoyin Avuet, because they're 100% what they're supposed to be. The whole Judaism only consists of these four mitzvahs, Bris Milah, Zionism, Emuna, and intermarriage. So the three he knew, and the one he didn't know, Emuna. So they said, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Yaakov Avinu is dancing from joy. By the time, the Gemara says, by the time Moshe Rabbeinu records in the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates to him to write in the Chumash, Yisma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So he doesn't dictate to Moshe Rabbeinu, write Baruch Shem Kvam Mechus. Everybody should jump from joy when a person says, I am a Jew at heart. I believe in God. I have Emuna. What do you mean? What about the other 600 mitzvahs? What happened to Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMashpach and everything else? So that's what the Gemara says. Yaakov Avinu was jumping from joy when the children said Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. So he said Baruch Shem. Moshe, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing to jump from joy just because a person says I have Emunah. He's a Jew at heart. So what about all the other mitzvahs? So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write Baruch Shem. So that's why we say it softly. We don't say it out loud because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write it. We don't delete it legamre because Yaakov Avinu did say in the days of Yaakov Avinu was very exciting. If a person has a emunah, he says Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he has a bris milah and he's a Zionist and he's not intermarried, so then you have 100%. So the Nesibis writes in the Sefer HaChumash in the Nachlas Yaakov, Aminig is on Yom Kippur that we say Baruch Shem out loud. Why is that? So he says we wanted the Baruch Shalom to give us a break. They said, Baruch Shalom, you should be excited over the fact that we have Emunah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, we all have a Bris Milah, we're all Zionists, none of us are intermarried. and we all have amunah. So Yaakov Avinu was dancing from joy. He said, give us a break on Yom Kippur, give him machilas on. Maybe we don't live up to what we're supposed to in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, but we live up to the full description of Judaism in the days of Yaakov Avinu. That's how the Nachlas Yankiv suggests. Maybe that's the reason why the minig is that you say Baruch Shem out loud, because we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Rachmanis on us on Yom Kippur. Right, that's the official reason that the Mefarshim give in Shulchan Aruch, that we want to do like Malachim. Malachim say Baruch Shem. Yeah. So then Yaakov Avinu understood that it was in Stalka Hemenu Shechina, not because Yesh Beinayim Psul. It's Stalka Hemenu Shechina because this inyan of when Mashiach is going to come is not, it's not kedai that people should know. There are a lot of things in life that it's not kedai that people should know in advance. That's the whole challenge of living. The Rabban Shalom doesn't, when the baby is born, he doesn't give a label on the baby, you should become a professor, you should become a doctor, you should become an engineer, you should become a musician. That's one of the challenges of life. The Rabban Shalom doesn't tell you what you should do for a living, doesn't tell you whom you should marry. That's the challenge of life. You have to figure out who is the right person to marry and what field to go into. The same thing over here. This is one of the challenges of Klal Yisrael. We don't know when the Achris Hayamim is going to be. We have to act as if maybe today Hayamim Bekol Lishmo, maybe another 1,000 years. We don't know. So we have to act accordingly. B'chol Yom Atzapala B'chol Yom Sheyover Achakala B'chol Yom Sheyover. So he understood that it's not because Eim Egalon Elul Itznuin and there's a Psul Bein Bonov. The Baruch Hashem doesn't want Achris Hayamim to be known. That's the challenge for Klal Yisrael. You have to survive in the Golas and prepare for the worst, that maybe the Golas is going to continue for many years to come, and maybe not. We have to entertain the past 50-50 chance that the Gula may be today. About that topic, about the generation gap, Rav Soloveitchik always used to say how important it is that we have to link up with all the figures from the past. The Rashba in his tshuva talks about those who were, they used to study philosophy, they used to study Goyish philosophy, they studied Mor Nebuchim. A lot of people went off the derech. So a lot of these Jewish philosophers were darshaning that Avraham Yitzchak Yankiv didn't really exist as human beings. These were concepts. Avraham is a concept of Chesed, Yitzchak a concept of Gvura, and Yankiv is a concept of whatever. Everything is a concept. So the Rashba says, whatever it was, whatever concept it was, but they were real people. I don't know if it's a question, is a person an apikoros if he thinks that they weren't real people? That's another people. What constitutes an apikoros? But our tradition has it that they were real people. They weren't just concepts. And we want to link up with these real people. We only live, live so long. So if a person wants to live longer, so he should live in the past and live in the future as well. He should link up with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankiv, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and Rabbi Akiva, and the Rambam, and Rabbi Natam. He should link up with all the people in the past and talk about what's going to be in the future also. There's one of the Israeli apikursish philosophers, if you can call him that name. They keep on quoting him in the newspaper. They used to quote him. I haven't seen him quoted for a long time. What was his name? Oz. Forgot his first name already. Amos Oz, yeah. So he was saying, yeah, what do they keep on hacking about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ben Avraham Avinu, and they talk about Moshiach and Eliyahu Navi. Forget about the past, forget about the future. I want to live in the present. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to live in the future. I want to live in the present. So that's what the Chazal consider a Rasha. A Rasha. Rishoyim afilu b'chayim kuri meisim, because your life is so short. A person who wants to extend his life lives in the past and lives in the future. And then the present in the context of the past and the future is more significant, more meaningful. This guy, what's his name? Amos Oz. So he says, they quoted him in newspapers. He's still alive. I don't even know. Yeah, he's still alive. So he says that they should give away the Harbais. Who wants it? They should give away the Harbais to the Arabs. and it should belong to a different Medina. If we want to visit to see what life was like 2,500 years ago in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we'll have to show our passport and go into this strange place, the Har HaBayis. Then we'll come back into the real world, back into Israel. And there's two different worlds. We shouldn't live in that world. A person wants to run away from our past and from our future. So that's a mace. Mishein Labanim is a choshuv kemace. If a person only lives in the past, he can't live in the future. He doesn't have a future, is considered in a certain sense a mace. Certainly if a person hucks up the past and the future, he only lives in the present. So the present is very short. There's an expression that's from one of the philosophers in the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, where he writes a little poem, "Ha'ovar ayin," the past is gone already. "Ha'hosad adayin," the future is not here yet. "Ba'hove keheref ayin," the present is only a second. So, dogamina, what is it to worry about? So, Rav Soloveitchik, in several of his published essays, writes that that's not the Jewish attitude. We do live in the past and we do live in the future. It's not just "Ha'hove keheref ayin." We try to live in the past and in the future. We link up with the others from years ago. He thought that this was important for the Malamdim to transmit not only cold Torah, what we believe in, but to transmit a connection with the earlier generations, all the way back to Avraham Avinu, to all the earlier generations. In his drushes, he would say the pasuk in last week's sedra, where they say, Yeshlanu av zaken v'yeled zikunim katan. So the Jewish people has to always feel we have a av zaken, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yankov, who guide us. V'yeled zikunim katan, we have young children who are going to lead us into the future. We're connected with the past, and we're connected with the future. We don't just live in the present. So that's important when Yankov Avinu says, Ephraim and Manasseh, Kiruv and Mishim and Yehuli, says there's no generation gap. I have a connection with my grandchildren to the same extent that I have a connection with my own children. According to the Medrash, he learned with them. He spent 17 years connected with the grandchildren. He learned with Ephraim. Manasseh was learning less. Manasseh was in politics and Ephraim wasn't learning more. But he was very connected with his grandchildren. The end of the parsha, it says, Gam b'nei Mocha ben Manasseh, you will do al birke Yosef. What does that mean? You'll do al birke Yosef. So the Targum Yonis Ben Ezeel says, is gazoru al birke Yosef, that Yosef was the tzaddik by the bris. Yosef was a tzaddik by the bris of his great-grandchildren. Ka b'nei Mocha ben Menashe. B'nei Mocha ben Menashe. Great-grandchildren. You'll do al birke Yosef. Menashe was the son of Yosef. Mocha was the grandson. B'nei Mocha was the great-grandchildren. Yuldal Birkei Yosef, he was the tzaddik for them. The Reish Rav has in the Sefer HaChumash, the minhag is in Shulchan Aruch that you're not mechabed the same person twice with tzaddikos, because the Gemara says that being makdik teres is a zgula for ashiris, because it says Yasim Ter be'apecha Baruch Hashem Chelo. So because being makdik teres is a zgula for ashiris, so you should spread the wealth around. You shouldn't have one whichever coin. Once had an opportunity to mock the Torahs when they had the lottery. When they drew lots, who should be mock the Torahs today? So they said, Chadoshim l'Torahs bo'ovo hafisu. Who didn't have a chance yet? Who have had a chance in the past? They didn't give them a second chance. We should try to spread the wealth around. So it's assumed in Yiddish tradition, it's assumed that Tzandikos is a school of Ashiras. Somehow it's compared to being mock the Torahs. So you shouldn't be mechaber the same person twice. So that's what the Reish Rav asks. But the Targum Yonis Ben Ezeel says, Gam b'nei Mocha ben Menashe, you'll do al birkei Yosef. He was the tzaddik by all of the great-grandchildren. So how did they mechaber the grandfather twice? So he writes in his Sefer on Hadrash v'Hayyun. He thinks that that minig, not to be mechaber the same person twice, is only if he's the rabbi of the shul. But if he's the great-grandfather, he's the great-grandfather, you can give him tzaddikos by all the children. He thinks this. The Reish Rav, Rabbi Aaron Levine, there's a professor, Aaron Levine, who teaches here in the college. That's my first cousin. So his grandfather was killed by the Nazis. His grandfather was he was the Aguda representative in the Polish parliament. He was a good speaker. He was a knockout speaker in Yiddish and a very good speaker in Polish. So he represented, the Aguda was a political party like the Democrats and the Republicans. like in Eretz Yisrael, they have so many parties. So in Poland, before the war, they had many, many parties. Didn't just have two parties. So there was a time that the Aguda was in a couple of years. There were a couple of years that the Aguda was in the coalition government. They were running the government. Rabbi Tendler makes fun. He said, that's why the Polish government collapsed. Because the Aguda was in the coalition. All the minority parties joined together and they were running the government for 2 or 3 years. So he wrote the Sfarim. He wrote Shalas the Chuvas, Avnei Chayfetz. And he wrote Sfarim on Chumash, his drushes. Hadrash Behayun, very beautiful. Has a lot of famous drushes. He points out, he thinks that you see from this pasuk that it's okay for the grandfather, the great-grandfather to be tzaddik many times over. That minik to spread around the wealth, not to be mechaber the same person twice with tzaddik goes. He says, that goes on being mechaber the rov, or a stranger. It doesn't go on a relative, that's okay. But that's what the Tagmi Yonason says. Yuld al berkias means is gizoru. Al-Berkai the Yosef. The Poshib Shah doesn't go that Yosef was the Sandik. So how do you translate Yuldar Biki Yosef? So the Ibn Ezra says that he raised them, he educated them. The Holid, how does it say? Ela told the Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Holid is Yitzchak. So the Ibn Ezra comments on that Pasuk, it's a problematic Lashon. Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Holid is Yitzchak. It said the same thing twice. So he says, no. Avram Holid es Yitzchak means he raised Yitzchak, he educated Yitzchak. Holid sometimes means to give birth, and sometimes means to be mashpia on them, to teach them chayim. So Yuldar Abirki Yosef means that Yosef raised his great grandchildren, just like Yaakov Avinu raised his grandchildren Menashe Ephraim, Kiruv Meshim and Yuli. So Yosef did the same; he raised his great grandchildren. He was mechanech his great grandchildren. That we don't want to have a generation gap. We want to see to it that all of Klal Yisrael have the same goals in mind. And that's the mitzarif of Klal Yisrael, is the Torah. So each one of the Shvatim got a different bracha. Ish asher kiver chosa berach oisam. You don't give the same, that's how it says at the end in Pasuk Chav Ches. You don't give the same bracha to all the children. Each child is totally different. Just because you sent one child to one yeshiva and he was successful doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to send all the children to the same yeshiva. For this child it was good, for this child it's not good. Just because, let's say they all go, there's only one local yeshiva, so I got no choice. Just because one child learned by one Rebbe, he was successful, doesn't mean that all the children would be successful by that Rebbe. There are people who learned with me b'chavrusa years ago, or who learned in my shir years ago, and then when their children come to the yeshiva, so the parents want that their son should dafka learn a mashia. So sometimes that's a disaster. So the parent to learn a mashia was gewaldic. The son would do much better if he go to another shia. He doesn't have to be a mashia. Each person thinks differently. So each shia is the each rabbi in the yeshiva. Most of the rabbis in the yeshiva learned by Rav Soloveitchik. Each rabbi has, they're saying over the same word from Rav Soloveitchik, each rabbi has a totally different presentation. So each Talmud, each person has a different way of thinking. The Gemara says, when a human being makes, let's say you have these, you have a mold to make cookies. So you make, all the cookies are going to be exactly the same. All the gingerbread men, they're going to look exactly the same. And the Rabbanu Shlom makes all the human beings, everybody has two nostrils and two eyes and two arms and two lungs. But kishem shem parts of him damzel is a kachin. The same damzel is a. Everybody has a different fingerprint. Everybody has a different DNA. Everybody has a totally different way of thinking. Everybody needs a different style of shir. You can't. It has to be isha shekiver chaser beirach oisam. Each child has different needs, and everyone is totally different. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch has a famous essay where he writes that was the mistake that Yitzchak Avinu made raising his children. He says that he raised Yankov and Esav the same way. He says if he would have recognized that Esav is an Isha Sadeh, he would have given him a different chinuch. Esav would have been Afrom Balabas, because he was forcing him to learn Gemara with Marsha and Rab Chaim and Rab Baruch Beres, so he wasn't cut out for that. So that's why he rebelled and he became a Meshugana. Esav became a Rasha. It's a sharp comment to make, but that's what he emphasizes. He's known for that comment. Chanuch Lanar Al Pi Darkei quotes from Mishnah. Each child needs a different style of chinuch. He can't force chinuch on people. Just because it was good for one child doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be good for the other child. Here, one of the brachas that Yankov gives the children is Lo Yosu Shevet Me Yehuda. that the Malchus Yisrael should be from Shevet Yehuda. And later on, this was determined to be referring to Malchus Beis David. That's the official Malchus son of Cheres. It does mean that you'll never have a king from any other Shevet. There were kings from the other Shvatim, but Lo Yesh Shevet Yehuda means it'll never be removed from Shevet Yehuda permanently. Temporarily, there are other kings, but permanently not. And the other kings have a status of Melech, but the Malchus son of Cheres is only Malchus Beis David. There are halachas where we distinguish between Malchus Beis David as opposed to other malachim. The Gemara says increases that when you appoint a king, you do Mashiach b'shemen amishcha b'shemen mishchas kodesh, and there's no me'isar me'ila behegdish. So that's only Malchus Beis David. Malchus Yisrael, you're not allowed to use shemen amishcha. That would be me'ila for you. So, but it, in Tanakh it says that they did Mashiach on the other malachim also. So the Gemara says that was Mashiach b'shemen afarsimon. That was in parsimony oil. That wasn't in real shemen mishchas kodesh. I remember many years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they found a jar of parsimony oil from 2,000 years ago. So it was a big, in Eretz Yisrael. And it was a big discovery. The archaeologists were so excited. So they wrote it up on the first page in the New York Times. They found parsimony oil from the days of Yoshke. That's the way they presented it. And you know what parsimony oil is? This is the oil that they would anoint the Davidic kings. That's punkt faker. This is the oil that they would not anoint. The Davidic kings had Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, Shemen HaMishcha. And those who were not Davidic kings, they would give them the imitation, Shemen HaMishcha.
What's the Gemara about the Chashmonaim, that they were punished?
The Ramban has that comment here. He says the Chashmonaim were Chassidi Elyon on this Pasuk. That's a famous Ramban. But because they violated this din, they took the Malchus for themselves. They were Kohanim. They were from Shevet Levi. They weren't from Shevet Yehuda. So because they took the Malchus to themselves, that's why they were punished, and that's why their government turned out to be a disaster. Everything fell to pieces. Because they violated Tzavuas HaZokin. They violated the instructions of the grandfather that Loyosu Shevet Yehuda. The halacha distinguishes between one halacha, one difference is that Malchus Beis David, when you appoint the king, when you anoint the king, you Shemen HaMishcha. The Gemara has another, that's a din deraisa. That's the Malchus son of Cheres. The other difference the Gemara has is the question whether deraisa derabbanan. No one is allowed to sit in the Azara, any yeshiva b'Azara, ela l'malchi beis David bilvad. Even the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit in the Azara. Even the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, not allowed to sit in the Azara. But the Melech from the Malchus beis David is allowed to sit in the Azara. So Rashi in two places in the Gemara, they point that out in the Masoras HaShas. One place, Rashi writes that it's halacha l'moshe misina, en yeshiva b'azara. There's no pasuk in Chumash. One place Rashi writes it's halacha l'moshe misinai. And what do you mean? And part of the halacha l'moshe misinai was chutz mi malchus beis David. So the Brisker Rav explains, no. Chutz mi malchus hanev cheres. And malchus beis David was determined later in the days of Shmuel HaNavi. It was determined that malchus beis David will be the malchus hanev cheres. The other place Rashi writes that it's only a din derabbanan, en yeshiva b'azara. But the difference between Malchus Beis David and the other is deraisa, but again to the Shemen HaMishcha. The Rambam quotes in the beginning of Hilchus Malachim, the Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi, that there's another difference between Malchus Beis David as opposed to the other governments. Only the Malchus Beis David is permitted to use Yerushalayim as their official capital. And whoever other kings, not from the Malchus Beis David, are not allowed to use Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the official capital of Eretz Yisrael, for the Malchus son of Cheres, reserved for the Malchus son of Cheres. Any other Malchus other than Malchus Beis David is not allowed to use it. Then in the davening, in the Birchus HaMazon, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechalta V'Svata V'Rachta San Shamal Kecha, Al Ha'oretz HaToy V'Ashenoso. We have to thank the Baruch Hu for giving us the food. We have to thank the Baruch Hu Al Ha'oretz for giving us Eretz Yisrael. HaToyva is referring to Yerushalayim. Ha'ora Toiva Zeva Halvona. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim means two things. Yerushalayim means the capital of Eretz Yisrael for giving us Malchus Beis David. That's the official capital of Eretz Yisrael for the official government. And Yerushalayim is also the makam of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why Yerushalayim had to be divided. Half of Yerushalayim was Binyamin, half of Yerushalayim was Yehuda. Because Yehuda represents the Malchus, Leosu Shevet Yehuda. So Yerushalayim has to be the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So you have to have the Malchus son of Cheres has to be in Yerushalayim, the official capital. and the Beis Hamikdash, the bracha both of Yaakov Avinu and the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu was that the Shechina should be Shura b'chalka shel Binyamin. Yaakov Avinu said Binyamin zev yitrof, the mizbeach should be like a wolf that devours korbanos. In the morning they should bring the Talmud Shal Shachar, and late in the afternoon they should bring the Talmud Shal Bein Abayim. On the last daf in Sukkah, the Gemara tells about the woman who was making fun of the Mizbeach. So she said under the Greeks, when they had a lot of apikorsim there, so she said, Lucas, Amasat Mechalam Amonim Shal Yisrael, what are you eating up? The Jews hardly have enough food to eat, and they're bringing korbanos on the Mizbeach. So why did she call the Mizbeach Lucas? Lucas is a wolf. So the Rishonim say, Rashi said, because in Chumash the Mizbech is referred to as Binyamin Zev Yitrof. Binyamin, the Mizbech has to be built b'chalka shel Binyamin. And it's like a wolf that devours sheep. The Mizbech devours the sheep, it eats up the korbanos. So the Torah describes it as a wolf derech kovet. And she was making fun of the Mizbech that the wolf is stealing all the food from the people. So the halacha required that Yerushalayim had to be dafka split. The Gemara has in the end of Maseches Sanhedrin, towards the very end, there's Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. When you're dividing Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yishuv Benun, when they were dividing the Shvatim, Allah Asid Lovet says they're going to divide. In the end of the Divorce Yecheskel, it says they'll divide Eretz Yisrael anew, a whole new Chalukas heart, not the way it was originally. So when they divide, it's a Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, but the Cholkim Erachas L'Shnei Shvatim, or Ein Cholkim Erachas L'Shnei Shvatim. It doesn't make sense. If there's a city and the border should go here, does it make sense to draw the line in the middle of the city, or do you have to go to the right or to the left? Here in the United States, they drew the lines for the states, but then there were cities right near the border, and cities kept on getting bigger. So now half the cities in one state, half the cities in the other state. That could happen in Eretz Yisrael also, when they divided the Shvatim, and then there were cities, and the cities grew, so that's Shayach. Half the cities now in one Shevet, if the city is in the other shape. But the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish is, does it make sense? Bishas Chalukas Haaretz. From the very outset, does it make sense? But the Cholkim Erachas L'Shnei Shvatim. So on the side of the Gemara, they have in tiny letters that Tosfos Rishonim points out, how can it be a Machlekes? But we know Yerushalayim. Half of Yerushalayim belonged to Binyamin, half of Yerushalayim belonged to Yehuda. So Tosfos Rishonim answers, no, that they knew. That has to be. That for sure. L'chol Hadeis. Yerushalayim has to be split. Therefore, Yerushalayim has to be Bechelka Shal Yehuda, because Yerushalayim is Alpidin, the capital of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Yerushalayim has to be Bechelka Shal Binyamin, because the Shechina has to be Shura Bechelka Shal Binyamin. It has to be like that. So when we recite the Birchas HaMazon, so we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Ha'oretz for Matnas Eretz Yisrael, that's No Delcho, Al Ha'oretz V'Al HaMazon. Then the third bracha, we should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Al Ha'oretz HaToiva. HaToiva is referring to Ha'or HaToiva Zeva Halvonin, for giving us Yerushalayim, the both aspects of Yerushalayim. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim as the official capital of Eretz Yisrael, for giving us Malchus Beis David. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash. Now we have neither. Now we don't have any Beis HaMikdash, we don't have any Malchus Beis David. So the Tanoim changed the Nusach, so they say now Rachim Noah. The Pashto says that Rachim Noah is only the Rabbana now. It used to be their Isa. Bizman she Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. Bizman there was Malchus Beis David, Beis Rishon. So then they didn't say Rachim Noah have Rachmanitz. They said, thank you very much. No Dulacho, Al Shanasat Alonu, Yerushalayim Bir Kodshecha, V'Hartziyah Mishkan Kvaydecha. And then he gave us Malchus Beis David Mishichecha. Now we know how we have nothing. So now they Tanoim changed the Nusach HaBracha. So we say, have Rachmanitz on Yerushalayim. It's probably only the Rabbanan in the midst of their Isis to recite Birchas HaMazon, to thank the Rabbanan Shalom for giving us all the things, not to pray to him, to ask him that he should give us back all of the things. So there are dinim on the level of their Isis where we distinguish between the Malchus Beis David, the Malchus Hanav Cheres, as opposed to the other Malachim. The other Malachim also have a status of a Melach, but it's not the official Malchus Hanav Cheres. The Brisker Rav has a diuk in a Loshon HaRambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis in the end of Sanhedrin, when he talks about the Yud Gimel Ikori Hamuna, so he says, from the Lashon HaRambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, he thinks that it says that there's a difference between, not at all explicit, he thinks it's a diuk, that there is a din Hamor b'Malchus, so the Rambam writes, Hamor b'Malchus, Rishus la-Melech lahorgo. If the Melech feels that it's necessary to retain law and order, if he feels that it's important to give him the death penalty, So if the melech wants to, he can give the death penalty. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. So from the Lashon HaRambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, it sounds as if one is murdered by Malchus Beis David, he's chayiv misa. And the melech doesn't have the rishus to be moichel, but rather he's mukhif to put him to death. That's a chiddush. That's a diuk. Anyway, but we know there are differences between Malchus Beis David. That's the Malchus HaNebcheres. That's what it says in Tzavos HaZaken. That was the instruction that Yankov Avinu said, Liyosu Shevit Yehuda, that the Malchus HaNebcheres should come from Shevit Yehuda.
He was
very marvelous,
but he left him alive on conditions.
So. Yeah. It's a questionable deal. Yes. How does it correspond to reality? I don't know. So finally it says that Yaakov Avinu dies and he's buried in Eretz Kenan and Moras HaMachpelo. And right after he's buried, so the brothers are petrified. What do you mean they realized the father died? Of course they realized. There was a whole ceremony, a whole funeral. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, says that they realize that he's not treating them with the same hiskarvis that he did while the father was alive. So they were afraid. He's going to take revenge now. So they tell a lie and they tell Yosef that the father left instructions that ona sona le pesha achecha v'chatosim kirog malucha sona pesha avdei lekei avicha, he should be moichel them. So it says vayev ki Yosef bedaber melav. Yosef started to cry. The Netziv quotes the Mishnah in Yuma that every year there had to be Mashbir the Kohen Gadol during the period of the Bayis Sheni, that he shouldn't do like the Tzdukim. So the Mishnah says, "Hu parusha boich v'him parusha meboichim." The Kohen Gadol would start crying that they were choshed him that he's going to be like a Tzduki. V'him parusha meboichim. They would cry that they had to administer the Shvuah because there were a lot of Kohanim Gedolim who were Tzdukim. So over here, Yosef is crying just like the Kohen Gadol was crying because they were choshed him that he was going to take the Nekama. Chalila, he would never have that in mind. So he tells them, "Al tiro, you shouldn't be afraid. Atem chashavtem alai ro, alikim chashav alatoiva. There's nothing to worry about." So all the mepharshim are bothered with the kasha. There is a Mishnah Nozir. Mishnah comments on the pasuk in Parshas Nozai. It says if the husband is mefer nidrei ishtoi, v'Hashem yislach lo, and the wife violates the neder, husband is mefer the neder, so it's not binding anymore. Then it says, "Vashem yislach, Hashem will forgive her." What does she need forgiveness for? If the husband is made for the neder, so it's not binding anymore. So the Mishnah Nozir explains, no, the husband was made for the neder, the wife didn't hear the good news yet. She thought the neder is still binding. She goes ahead and she violates the neder, thinking that it's still kaim. And she didn't know the husband had already been made for. We check on the watch. The husband was made for the neder at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. The wife violated the neder at 1 o'clock, not knowing that the husband had already been made for. So then the pasuk says, "Vashem yislach lo." So what did you need forgiveness? But sof kol sof, the husband was mefer. So the Mishnah says in Nozir, no. Mishnah is kam alechol besar chazir, v'ol lebiod the besar tleh needs kapara. If a person thinks that he's buying non-kosher food, and accidentally he fell in, happens that it was kosher food. He thought that this was a non-kosher restaurant. He's going to finally eat some chazir, and he enjoys the meal. Then it turns out that everything was glad kosher. So since he thought that he's doing an avera, so niskan lechol b'sach hazir, he needs a kapar. So that's what it says in the parsha. Hashem yisloch lo. She didn't realize that everything was already mufar, so she needs a kapar. So Hashem will forgive her. So that's what they ask over here. The brothers didn't think l'toiva. The brothers intended l'ro. They thought for sure he's going to get killed. For sure Yosef is going to get killed. They're going to take him to Mitzrayim. He's going to lose his life over here. So what does he say? Hashem atem chashavtem alai ro, alikim chashav al toiva. So there's nothing to worry about. Adirab, tzorach kapara. I think the Gemara says you give makas mardas. This kamal lechol b'sach hazir ve'olei b'olei b'sach tleh. You give makas mardas. That's what the Tosis is. The Tosis discusses what is makas mardas. How many times malkas do you give? Give 13 malkas, give 39 malkas, acha teitzei napsho. How much is makas mardas? That's what the whole discussion is on that Mishnah. So what do you mean over here? He says, don't worry about it. So some of the achranim came up with a wapra of a chiddush that we distinguish between bein adam lamokam and bein adam lachaveira. And bein adam lamokam, it depends what your kavana was. Niskavan lecho b'sar chazir is tzorach kapor. The woman thought she's violating the neder, and it turns out the husband had already been mefer. So then the person, she needs kapor. But in aver bein adam lachaveira, it all depends on the end result, on the bottom line. If lemaisa elikim chashav l'toiva l'man aso kayom azel hachias amrav. If in the end it turns out l'toiva, then you don't need any kapara. That's a big chiddush. That's a big chiddush. The Beis Rav has on this also a whole arichas. There's a tosefta that says that there's a mitzvah of shikra. Shikra means if you forgot a bundle in the field, you forgot it originally. So then later on, when you realize that you left it behind, you shouldn't take it. Let the Oni keep it. So the Tosefta says, based on this institution of Shikra, we can see that if a person has coins in his pocket and he has a hole in the pocket and he drops a coin, he doesn't even know that he dropped the coin. And a poor man happens to mekret, to pick up the coin, and he's mispanis from it. So I get the reward. The one who dropped the money from his pocket gets the schar, the being mefarnis. What do you mean? He was mamish mesasek. He didn't even realize that the money fell out of his pocket. It's not the same as Shikra, because by Shikra, I forgot, but then after I realized that I left it behind, so I'm commanded by the Torah to leave it there. Here I didn't even know that I dropped the money. So that's what they say. See, from that Tosefta, that a mitzvah shemir al machaber, it all depends on the end result. The Reish Rav, I think, has this not in his, he has it in his Chuvas, in the Avnei Chayfet. He talks about mitzvah sichas kavana. He says, mitzvah is kavan is only on a mitzvah shebiron l'mamokam. Mitzvah shebiron l'chaveiro, all depends on the end result. If the end result is that the other fellow was marviach, he gained some benefit, so then you have the schar for the mitzvah. He says, therefore, the whole din of einois, the mitzvah is chavilas doesn't apply to a mitzvah shebiron l'chaveiro. The whole reason for einois, the mitzvah is chavilas is that Taisus says, he quotes the Taisus, it's hard to be mechavim for two different mitzvahs. So that's only on a mitzvah shebiron l'mamokam. Mitzvah Shmaral Machaveh, you don't have to be Machaveh. That's in his Tshuva Sefer, the Avnei Chayfetz. When the brothers ask for forgiveness, on a son of Pesha Achecha, so he says, he tells them, Al Tiro, don't be afraid, Hatachas Elakim Oni, am I in the place of God? What kind of a lotion is that? Hatachas Elakim Oni. Here there's a Targum Unkelis has a pshat. Arei dachla d'Hashem ano. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva has a comment on this Targum Unkelis. How does that tachas alekim ani? How does that come to be translated? Dachla d'Hashem, I am a God-fearing person. Whoever is God-fearing person is not below God. He's on the same level as God. What does that mean? He has a whole drush on this. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva. But how do you read the pasuk? Ashver a pasuk.
Sounds like Ruga's reading a tachas alekim ani. Tachas alekim ani. It's not a question, but a statement.
Hat, he says, hat, am I lower than God? I am on the same level as God. I am a God-fearing person. I am on the same level as God. That's how Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva interprets it. He said, that's how the Targum Unkelis seems to have understood. But how do you read, if you don't say like that, leave out the Targum Unkelis, the problem, how do you read the pasuk? Hatachas alekim ani. So I saw on one of the svarim that was just printed, the two different svarim that were just printed. One is by Avishai David, one is by David Holtzer. They both printed rushes from Rav Soloveitchik. Interesting. Sometimes they have the same drushes. Sometimes, usually they have different drushes. So here they have, Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested two interpretations. One was, we have a nusach that we recite for Vine. The nusach that's printed in the Vidui. So Yosef was rebuking the brothers, when you do an aver ben adam lamokim, you have to say that nusach. But this is an aver ben adam lachaveira. You're saying, Ona son of Pesha Achecha v'chatos. Ona son, no, what? That's the way you talk to God. You don't talk to a human being like that. Atachas alekim anoi. Am I God? I'm a human being. You have to ask mechila for a human being, but you don't say such a lashon. Ona son, no. That's an improper nusach. That's a nusach for vidui, for an aver ben adam lamakam, not for ben adam lachaver. Then he has another suggestion. It's a difficult pasuk. Atachas alekim ani. Then he has another suggestion. Maybe what it means is that we have a din of ayin tachas ayin. And the tradition has it that it's not to be taken literally, it's moment. So why does it say ayin tachas ayin? So if it would say Mamon tachasayin, people would think the avera is not so bad. You blind the person, you break his legs, you break his arms, and you pay money later on. Okay, if I'm prepared, I'll burn down your house and I'll pay you. So I'll make you a bal mum and I'll pay you. So the Torah writes ayin tachasayin. He really deserves to have given. He really deserves to have been punished with ayin tachasayin. But human beings don't have the ability to determine exactly that it should be mida keneged mida. I'm going to take out your eye that may be a greater suffering than what I had. So that's what Yosef says. Only God knows how to give such a punishment. Literally, you're afraid I'm going to take nekama from you. Only God knows how to take nekama to give people the same degree oinish that they agmas nefesh and suffering that they cause someone else. I wouldn't be able to. Human beings can't do that. So that's what he says. Don't be afraid I'm going to take nekama and sell you into slavery and to treat you the way you treated me. Human beings don't have the ability to give exactly the onish. He says, I can't, Amela, I can't give you any onish at all. But with all the interpretations, with Rav Levi Yitzchak Baditchman, with the two pshatim of Rav Soloveitchik, it's a difficult pasuk. What does that mean? Hatachas alekim on him. It's a problematic pasuk. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Sefer Hasidim. Every so often, they quote something from the Sefer Hasidim. So it says in the end of Hilchas Avelus, that if you had two people who hated each other during their lifetime, they didn't get along, so you shouldn't bury them one next to the other. So they interpret the pasuk when Yosef is about to die. Halisim es hatzmaisai mizeh itchem. He tells the brothers, after I die, you should bring my body back to Eretz together with your body and bury us next near each other. So he's saying, I love you. He's saying, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not a sinai. If you still hate me, that's your asik. But I don't hate you. So that's why he's saying, Halisim es hatzmaisai mizeh itchem. I'm prepared to be buried together with you. I have no grievances. I have no tainus against you. Okay. So maybe people want to daven mincha now. Want to daven mincha now? We have a minyan. Got to see.